Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy goodness and mercy which Thou hast extended to us in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou hast been kind to us. We have needed Thy help, and we do need Thy help. And we thank Thee that Thou hast given Thy Holy Spirit to show us the things of Christ, that we might grow in them and come nearer to Thee through Him. Add Thy blessing to us now as we study, that Thy Spirit may take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. We're continuing in our study in the Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 24, and are beginning in the section which would begin with verse 15. In this section of Matthew, two lines of thought seem to be carried on at the same time. If you will remember in our previous study, we took note that on Mount Olivet, when the Lord Jesus was speaking to his disciples, they had asked him several questions. He had told them that the city of Jerusalem would evidently be destroyed because the temple was going to be destroyed so that not one stone would be left upon another. They asked him, "When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And then the Lord Jesus had talked to them about the days to come. And he had warned them that there would be various calamities. There would be wars and rumors of wars, and there'd be famine, pestilence, earthquakes in divers places. All these would be the beginning of sorrows. But it wasn't the end. It was just the beginning of things. And then the people who believed in him would be persecuted. False prophets would arise, and there would be error that would be very current among people. Wrong ideas would be given out. Iniquity would abound. Sin would become rampant, and until morale would be low, the love of many would wax cold. And all the time there would be missionary activity. The gospel would be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. Then shall the end come. So now we have come to verse 15. And as you go along in here, you're going to hear things talked about that ordinarily we would have no idea of at all. And even now when it comes to interpreting it, I think I can keep in mind very properly that probably as we read this, it might be fair to say it won't be mean the same to any two people. There'll be so many things here we do not understand and do not fully follow. But there will be some of it plain enough as we go along. I'm going to read along and make some comments on this and see if I can help us all to have a practical grasp of this material. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, the Lord Jesus speaking says, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes." Here we have an interesting insight into something of Scripture. Daniel is spoken of as a prophet, and certain prediction made by Daniel is to be fulfilled. There is to be the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, and it would be found standing in the holy place, implying, I think, in some way that the temple itself would be desecrated in some fashion. And then in verse 15 you have these words, "Whoso readeth, let him understand." I'm not sure that I can give you the full meaning of that, but I'll give you one idea for you to keep in mind right away. This line of truth will not be understood by natural thinking. Anybody that gets to be real capable of understanding human ideas won't understand this line of truth. If someone were a real good scientist, he wouldn't understand this line of truth. If someone were a real good philosopher, he wouldn't understand this line of truth. Only the person who's reading the Bible, only the person who has read Daniel will know what he's referring to. And only the person who has read the whole of Scripture over and over again will know what's going to follow. Because he's going to talk about things which would be meaningful enough in Scripture. If you knew about Ezekiel, you knew about Daniel, you knew about Zechariah, you had these various prophets in mind. But if you didn't have those prophets in mind, you wouldn't understand. It's let him that readeth, whoso readeth, let him understand. But one thing you can make sure, there are some things that become clear on the very surface. And that would indicate that at a certain time, when this abomination of desolation stands in the holy place, then certain calamity is going to befall. And this language implies sudden disaster. Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And as I say, there's much in there that you and I wouldn't be able to follow. We wouldn't be able to piece it out and to see exactly what it would mean. But one thing for sure, suddenly there will be real trouble on the face of the earth. In fact, in verse 22, we read, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. There'll be some sort of terrible affliction and calamity fall upon the earth. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ has warned us in such a way that if anybody were to come along now and offer himself as a guide or a leader, we'd know about it, and we ought to be careful that we don't follow him. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the west and shineth out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. I gather from this passage that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be something open and obvious. And you don't have to think of somebody saying that they have a special way of interpreting it. Don't pay any attention to them. Just you wait for the Lord, because when he comes, everybody will know it. Now I'm reading on in verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Here again I'm ready to say that there is in here ideas expressed that it's hard to follow. It's hard to picture a situation in which there will be this great astronomical disturbance that you have here, with the stars falling from heaven and the power of the heavens being shaken and so on. But that's the way the description goes. It'd be far, far better not to trouble with it. I mean, in the sense of trying to change it. Leave it alone. Let it stand right there. That's what's going to happen. This tribulation is going to come, and it's going to be very sincere, very severe. And after the tribulation, there will be these disturbances in the astronomical bodies, and then the Son of Man will be coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, he said that to Pilate. He said it before the Sanhedrin, and he had said it various times before, and it refers to Old Testament passage, and it brings to our mind that in some way God will send his Son to go on with the work in an open, glorious fashion. Then the Lord Jesus goes on to say, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putting forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. He is saying, you can tell how spring comes because you see the evidence in the trees. Well, you can tell when these things are going to happen. You'll see the evidences among people. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And I have in mind, when I think about this, the way in which it occurs, that the actual occurrence is sure. There's no doubt about it. And it implies that you could tell that it's on its way if you see the conditions that he has been describing. And when you think back over these days, since he was here, wars, rumors of wars, and natural calamities, and the persecution of true believers, iniquity abounding, and all this kind of thing happening, with great tribulation upon people, and all of these things happening, you can see these things, you'll know it's all the way it was predicted, and that surely as these things happen, so will the coming of the Lord be, and the setting up of his kingdom will follow in just exactly the same way. Because heaven and earth shall pass away, his words will not pass away. And then we come in verse 36 to a practical word of that day and hour, the day and hour in which God will send the Son of Man to the coming to the earth in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. In that of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. All of which seems to bring to our minds the idea that suddenly, in a time that only God knows, these things are going to be fulfilled. The time is unannounced, but the event is actually going to be real. Now, this is the way in which the Lord Jesus instructed his own disciples. I can't help but feel while we're thinking about this, so far as any of us are concerned, you and I walk out on the street and meet with people, we go to our place of business, we're around with people, we're in our homes. It's hard to understand that these things are so. We do well to read Scripture, to open our hearts and minds to this truth, and let God speak to us. Whatever in the world it means these things we've been talking about. That the Lord God has in mind a time when he will send his Son into this world to complete something. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us understand these things and incline our hearts to be ready and to be faithful. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.